Psalm 23 is where we're going to be today. We're going through this series called The Master's Plan. And the master's plan is essentially the fact that when you design a new house, when you design a new community, there has to be blueprints. The city just doesn't let you put up anything because it'll collapse and hurt people. And so they ask for blueprints, that you have to have a game plan. You have to know what you're doing before you put the hammer and the nail together. But many of us in our own lives, we don't have a game plan. We don't have a blueprint. We don't have a roadmap for how things are going to go. We kind of just wake up and spitball it and see if it all works out for us. And God actually has a master plan for us. And so in this series over the last several weeks, you could go back online and find us on YouTube, and you'll see that we talk about different areas of our life where God certainly has a master plan at place for us. And so I want to encourage you to consider those areas of life, those scriptures, and say, Lord, am I giving you, am I following the master's plan? Am I doing the things that would lead to a happy and healthy life with you? And so that's what we're in this series about. And today I'm going to take you to a familiar passage. And here's the thing. We've been talking about what I need to do and what I need to do and what I need to do. And so today I thought it would be appropriate to end this particular series as we move to the next one. But as we move on, for each of us, see, if you laughed, you need to pray. Because you know. But so here's the deal. So for each of us, as we've been looking and saying, what do I need to do? And I just wanted to bless you with a week where you can be reminded that actually what God wants you to do is a whole lot less than you probably think it is. Like followership, following the Lord, is a whole lot more simple than probably we make it. Here's what I've discovered, just being a pastor for a while. I've discovered that a lot of people like to make faith complicated. We like to make faith complicated. We can at one time judge religion from a distance and say, well, religion, rules. And then you go and you read the Bible and you're kind of like, well, this doesn't make sense. Because people that are disobeying God say the reason they're disobeying God is because God's all about lots of rules. But then when I go to the Bible, God's about grace, and God is about resting, and God is about loving, and God is about just let me be God. But we like to make it more complicated because the more crazy, the more complicated I can make something, the less responsible I am to live up to it. So if I can make it seem, oh, that's just too hard. It's kind of like your kids around the house, right? It's like, hey, pick up your room. Oh, look at the room. It's like, whoa. It's simple. Just when you take your clothes off, you put them in the hamper. But if you don't do that after a while, you build up Mount Clothmore. And so you come in as a parent, and you have to take out insurance to go into your child's room. Because it's like this, I might not make it out. I might get lost. I have to tell Christy to tie a rope to my ankle to pull me out if she doesn't hear from me. And so, but here's the thing. How does it get that way? It gets that way because we didn't do the simple thing. And because we didn't do the simple thing, we made it more complicated. And then we say, oh, it's too much. I can't believe you would make me clean my room. And we do that as grown-ups. The scripture talks about simple things. Love your neighbor. That's just too hard. Really? How about vengeance is mine? No, I want that. How about, I don't know, budget your money? Like, we just throw up all these roadblocks that at the end of the day, it's like, no. These are simple things. These are easy. But it's when we don't do them over a period of time, life begins to get difficult. How about, I got one, the golden rule. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. How many of us say, I do that all the time, perfect? Like, no, we get selfish, we get immature, we want our way, we get cranky. And here's the deal, let's be honest, we'll get cranky in the morning and we'll say something flippant, and then we'll spend the rest of the day defending ourselves, knowing that we could just apologize. Like the Bible tells us, it's simple, I'm sorry, and we're done. But instead, we'll just ball up. We take our corners in a marriage and fight it out. And God says, no, forgive. Oh yeah, and God says, hey, if somebody steals from you, go ahead and take off your jacket too. Just give them more than they want. Oh, and God says, go the extra mile. Like, don't let yourself get so worked up about everything being in your favor. Like, become a person that is so generous that it doesn't really faze you. Like, who can hurt that person? Like, nobody can. And so God has these simple things to go through life and to live, and they're actually just turn it down a notch. But what we do is we turn our life up so much, and we want it our way, and it's got to happen now, and I want the biggest and the baddest, and da-da-da-da-da. And as a result, we end up in a life that doesn't look like God's grace and God's mercy and God's favor flowing over us. We look like people that are just uptight and angry all the time. And I thought it would be great to just take you to a passage that's familiar, but maybe you haven't seen it in this way, to encourage you to just kind of unwind, dial it back a little bit, let life come to you a little easier, maybe not crank it up as much, maybe relax a little, and maybe just enjoy God's grace. Because when you can get to that place, it's a beautiful place to be. I have a little confession. It's a slight confession. It's not that big. I'm going to go see Jimmy Buffett in March. Isn't that great? Yeah, so I won't be high or drunk, but I'll be there. And watching everyone else will probably make me feel like I am. But here's the deal. I tell you that because one of the things that I like to do is I like to just go and chill. Grab a tea, go get in my hammock, and just turn on Buffett beach music. Because life is just too stressful. And I like at times to just turn it down and relax. How did a kid from the inner city of Baltimore like Jimmy Buffett? I have no idea. I have a best friend who was raised in East Tennessee, and it kind of just happened. And we both liked the beach. And one time a couple of years ago, we were sitting at lunch, and I was like, hey, I've got some reward points on my airline miles. Do you want to go to the Florida Keys? And he was like, yeah. This was at like 1 p.m. No doubt 5 p.m., we're on the plane, me and my friend. And so this is the kind of friend. You need one of those. But I tell you all this because why? Because I like to, and you have your way, I like to kind of just calm down life sometimes and say, I'm stressed. I'm maxed out work. I'm thinking about stuff that just really at the end of the day doesn't matter. I'm snappy. And how do I get this way? I'm just too clamped up and tight. But how does the Lord want me to really enjoy this life? Now, of course, you have to work. And of course, there's going to be seasons where you put in a lot and blah, blah, blah. All that's true, right? But look at the words. And I want to read the whole passage because I want you to see a theme today. This passage can be picked apart. I could preach on this for an entire year and wouldn't get to all the good golden nuggets out of it. But I want you to be able to see a theme out of Psalm 23 today. So I'm going to read the whole thing to you, and you'll see where I'm going with this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now I want to go ahead and give you the theme real quick. Look at all the things that I'm supposed to do, and look at all the things that the Bible says the Lord will do. Look at the things in this that I'm supposed to do, and look at the things that the Lord will do. And you tell me if it's not, God wants us to be in a hammock and just chill out. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. He makes me what? Lie down in green pastures. He does what? He leads me beside still waters, calm waters. He restores my soul. Some of us, we need our soul to be restored this morning. He does that work. You don't. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why does he do that? For his namesake. It's not about me, it's about him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Why not? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff. What do rod and the staff do? They comfort me. He does more work. He prepares. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now you look through that passage and you find anxiety. You find stress. You find fighting to get your way. You find worry. You find fear. You find doubt. You tell me that those things are attributes that the Lord wants you to have. No. These are byproducts of us trying to manufacture life. Even sometimes us trying to manufacture faith and manufacture religion. And so when we are doing the labor that is supposed to be left to God, we end up in a place that is uncomfortable because we are not God. And so there is a lane in which we walk. There is a lane in which we go. And it's God's master plan for Him to be your shepherd and for Him to be your host. If you're writing notes, I want you to write that down. It is God's master plan for Him to be my shepherd and for Him to be my host. So when I am walking and when I am doing and when I am moving, it is God's divine plan. It's His master plan to be my shepherd, to be the one showing me where to go. When I move, you move. Just like that. When I move, and it's God's plan to lead the dance. And many of us, we are moving not in lockstep with self, or not in lockstep with the Lord. We are moving in lockstep only with self. And it's in our own power, it is in our own strength that we're trying to get all this done. Lord, I want to build a good family. So I'm gonna, would you bless it? Wrong plan. Lord, I want to get a promotion. So I'm gonna ignore my family. I'm gonna stay out late. I'm gonna skip Bible study because that's not. I gotta work, Lord. You know, I mean, you and I gotta pack together, right? Like in this season, it's just a season. I need to work more, and so I cannot do Bible. And we all do this. We all, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's prayer time, whether it's being in the Word on our own, we all do this. We all say the biggest thing. It starts with a B. It's a B word. Busy. Pastor, you don't understand my situation because I am B-word. It's like everybody's B-word. We live in America. Everybody's got some. But the issue is not your movement. The issue is not the things that you do. The issue is not that you have a job or you use your education and you go try to run that company. That's not the issue. The issue is He your shepherd? Is He telling you to move left? Is He telling you to move right? If you've ever seen, we're about to go into the Winter Olympics. If you've ever seen an amazing, top-notch gold medal freestylist skater, the ice skaters, when they go, they make the most complicated, crazy 75 backflip, 720 things look effortless. And they're on ice. That's the grace that God desires for you to be able to move with. But that is when they're doing it all right. They've had a shepherd. They've had a coach along the way. And then there's the rest of us, right? We can't even go down to the Inner Harbor and get on the ice for 3 minutes before we fall. In our own power, undirected. And so this life you have to understand, God wants to be your shepherd. Are you allowing Him? How many of your decisions last week, last month, look at your taxes, last year, how many of your decisions were God-shepherded decisions? And how many of them were mine? I did it. I want to. I'm thoughtful. I'm smart. And when we look at that, what we're doing, every time we do something we think that we know better, we're being our own shepherd. And the truth is, we become a sheep without a shepherd. Life gets hard, and then we get angry at God. God, where are you? He's like, I'm back here. I never told you to make that left. Look at the first couple of verses there. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Everyone say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You just might need to confess that. That might be the whole sermon you need. Tape it up to your mirror when you're brushing your teeth tomorrow morning and just remind yourself, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. He's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What is my job in this equation? Check it out. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall what? Not want. He makes me what? Lie down. Oh my gosh, how mean. What a mean God. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside what? Raging rivers? No. Still waters. Calm it down. He's in charge. He restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It is God's plan that I plan to rest in Him. You might want to write that down. It is God's plan that I plan to rest in Him. How freeing would it be in this week if you just said, I don't care. I'm resting in my Lord. But we got an emergency. I'm resting in my Lord. I'm not sure if you heard me, but I shall not want. You know what that's a declaration. I shall means something hasn't happened yet. Do you get that? I shall not. As I move forward, my Monday, I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. If He wants me to go left, He'll tell me to go left. If He wants me to go right, He'll tell me to go right. If He doesn't want me, I won't move because He leads me beside still waters, and He restores my soul. So how freeing would it be in your life if you realized that God's master plan was that I would plan to find rest? I was talking with someone this morning that has a big decision to make and is in a negotiation. And it is so freeing if you go into a negotiation saying, I don't need the outcome to define me. Do you know how hard it would be to negotiate with somebody that's got that attitude? Because the whole idea of leverage, the whole idea is like, you need me, I need you, you need me. But what if you were able to live and just say, no, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. This doesn't define me. This conversation's not going to define me. What you think of me, not going to define me. You can let it define you if you want. I'm not letting it define me because the Lord is my shepherd. You're not my shepherd. You're not going to tell me how to feel when I leave this meeting. You're not going to change my validation of myself. You know how I'm validated? I'm validated for the price that'll be paid for me, and Jesus' blood paid for me. So I'm gold standard, baby. So what if you went in and you said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some of us are single, and the thing that's crushing us is we want to be affirmed by someone else. The Lord is your shepherd. You don't have to be desperate. You don't have to change your standards. You don't have to lower anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What if inside your marriage, those of you that are married, you were able to say, I don't have to win every fight. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to be yearning and longing all the time. I'm going to be a person confident in who God made me to be, and I'm going to follow Him when He says go left. I'm going to follow Him when He says go right, but He is my shepherd. His job is to shepherd. His job is to find the way. His job is to know where I'm going. His job is to know what turn is next. That's not my job. My job is to not be in want. My job is to lie down next to green pastures. My job is to be near still waters. My job is to let God restore my soul. What if you realize God's master plan was a lot simpler than you're making it? What if you realize that? How would it change your life? I'm going to plan right now not to want. I'm going to count on the fact that I don't want. He's my shepherd. He's my supply. He's my protector. He's my healer. He's my provider. I shall not want. I'm writing it down in advance. The Lord's my shepherd. Look what it goes on. He does something else now. Remember, we're watching what He does and what we do. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk, so we got Him leading us and we're walking. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's my job? I will what? Fear no evil. For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's God's plan that I walk faithful in faith. It is God's plan that I walk faithful in faith. The Bible says he leads me in paths of righteousness. He will lead you to the path of righteousness. You don't have to wake up every day trying to worry about being righteous before God. He will lead you there. You just simply have to decide, I'm turning over the keys and I'm not going to act unless I know it's holy. I'm not going to act unless I know it's God's will. And if you can get that into your mind to say, look, he's my shepherd, I shall not be in want. But the exchange that I make is I'm only going to do things that he's called me to do. And every time God tells you to do something, I promise it will be righteous. This isn't very hard. It's just that you have to check with him and say, Lord, you're the shepherd, I'm not. Sin is not something that God leads you to. God does not wake you up and tempt you. The scripture says that we are all tempted when we are led by our lust, our sinful desires. We are drawn away and tempted. But it's not him who does the tempting to us. And so how that works is it's a lot more simple than we make it. We basically just say, Lord, left or right? Because why? He will lead me to paths of righteousness. I don't have to work to be righteous. In fact, that's the opposite of Christ's holiness. Christ's holiness is in me just resting and not moving forward unless I know it's what God wants. And when God wants, as declared by the Word of God, peers that walk and live according to the Word of God, those people, as I understand what God wants next, then I can make my next step. And I don't fall into sin that way. But I've got to let him be the shepherd. But so it says that who leads us off the path? Our sinful nature. If we stay connected to God, he's going to lead us to righteousness. Not that hard. But what if God is leading you into righteousness and all you see is the shadow of death around you? You see, because that passage, it says that we're led in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And then it says that even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he's going to lead you into righteousness. But maybe while you're being righteous, you feel like the world around you, death is creeping in, even though you're living a righteous life, even though you're obeying God. Even this is where people, Christians, get so angry and they say, how come I'm trying to do right and stuff is hard? It's like, well, he told you in like Psalm 23, like you can be following Jesus and life still kind of feel hard. It's not about the environment. It's not about like if I'm righteous, all of a sudden my environment's going to change. That may not be that way. It may be that you are righteous as all get out, but somebody in your family gets cancer. You are righteous as all get out, but somebody gets laid off. You are righteous as all get out, but somebody gets in a car accident. And so when you put these things together that aren't meant to be together, then you end up with a theology that starts to fall apart under pressure. But listen, you may be walking and honoring God and you may be living a righteous existence while following the Lord, but then the shadow of death creeps up. But the scripture doesn't say you'll never see the shadow of death. The scripture doesn't say you won't see hardship. I mean, I preached another funeral this week. Like, we all will. And I reminded everybody in that funeral home. I said, unfortunately, this is what we will all face. And so the question is not to try to avoid the complexities of life and death. The question is to be able to understand what it's all about. And so even though the shadow of death may come, then it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's my role? I will fear no evil. Why won't I have fear? Because I'll be faithful. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Really quick, you know what a rod and a staff is? It's not really a comfortable instrument. When the rod and the staff are put to use, it's not pillow talk. When the shepherd has to use the rod and the staff, it hurts. But if you're a sheep that is listening to the shepherd, you never have to worry about the rod and staff. So therefore, the rod and the staff take on a whole different meaning. Because now why? It's not about correcting me and keeping me in line. Why? Because I listen to the voice of the shepherd. And so the rod and the staff are to defend and protect me as I'm listening to the voice of God. Even though we might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Because I got news for you, church. Where is the fresh water? It's in the valley. Where is the greenest grass? It's in the valley where the water is. And so if God has to walk you through the valley, you have two choices. You can say, oh my goodness, I'm in the valley. Or you can say, Lord, you're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me because you're protecting me. You're walking me there, and as a result, I know who I'm with, I know where I'm going, I'm going to a place of rest and calm. And so I know right now it doesn't feel that way because it looks really scary and there's wolves up on the side of the mountain, but you're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All of a sudden, God goes from being a disciplinarian to where everything I do is wrong. And that picture that you've had in your life of God just sitting back there as a cosmic killjoy ready to zap you, that goes away because you go, that's silly. What? God is not out to get me. God is out to protect me. And I've determined that I'm not going to want for anything because He's my God and He's my Lord and He's my shepherd. So I'm not worried about His rod and staff. Somebody comes along and says, aren't you, God's not going to be happy with you. I desperately wish you would ask somebody at your work, your office, people that you work with, ask them what their view of God is. Because they've not had the privilege and the joy of seeing God be the shepherd who just simply gives them the next step and leads them beside calm waters and restores their soul and gives them green grass to walk in, because they don't have that picture of who God could be in their lives, because they don't know Him. Because of that picture, they say, well, God is just all about rules. All about what I can't do. Protection brings comfort when you're the one under protection. Protection brings comfort. None of us like to see gun violence. But I'll tell you what, I've been in some speaking engagements where the moment I walked into an unfamiliar arena, I've literally had the sheriff of that town introduced to me. Pastor Wilgus, this is Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith is the sheriff of this county you're in, and he'll never be more than 15 feet from you. And there are 15 people in the room who have weapons, and their first protection is to make sure you're okay, because while everybody's looking forward, someone could try to do you ill will. All of a sudden, the method of protection is not just some wayward thing out there floating that could hurt me. All of a sudden, that method of protection, thanks. Because I'm in a strange place. I don't know who's here. I don't know who these people are. Thank you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because I know they're not pointed at me. I know they're there for my benefit. Verse 6, or 5, you prepare, I told you, He's your shepherd, but He also wants to be your host. This is His master plan. You prepare, look at what God does, look at what you do. You prepare, everybody say prepare. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look what He does. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, which I just love that verse. Like God every once in a while is that Jesus told, I talked to my son about what position you take when you visit someone's home. You don't just go sit down at the nicest spot. You let the host tell you where to sit, right? But I love that the Bible tells us the reason is that if you do that, you're going to be embarrassed. But if you don't do that, maybe the host will give you a nice seat and build you up. And so the Lord plays on our own desire to be seen as special. And if you look, it's the same. You prepare a table before me. He could have stopped there. But He prepares this table in the presence of all the people that you feel like you've got to show up. All the people you feel like you've got to prove yourself to. All the naysayers, all the doubters, all the haterade. Those are the people that God says, hey, you sit here, I'll take care of them. But you're so busy trying to prove everybody wrong that you just can't accept the joy of the Lord and rest. Let Him deal with that. You're messing up your week for no reason. And you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I'm just so full. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It is God's plan that I flow and overflow. It is God's plan that I flow in overflow. That when I'm rested, when I'm calm, when I'm letting God lead the way, when I'm letting Him prepare my table, when I'm letting Him tell me left or right, when I'm in the presence of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the ones that are out to get me, He's going to let me sit down in their presence anyway, and He's going to bless me. And so when I'm in that mode, I am flowing in overflow. My week's not going to get messed up. Why? Because I'm not dependent on you to determine my value. I'm not dependent on what you've got to say to make my week good or bad. I'm listening to the voice of the shepherd anyway. I don't have time for that drama. And when you live that way, I promise you, promise you, promise you, promise you, promise you. If you're a person who has a lot of gossip around you, it's because you allow a lot of gossip around you. I promise. I will often hear mainly from like family or friends, like other stuff is being said in a room or whatever, but I'm like, wow, it's weird. Nobody brought that to me. Really weird. Why? Because I shut that junk down every time all day. I don't make any exceptions. And so if you find yourself in the middle of drama wars, guess what? You're inviting it. Just stop. Just be like, no. I listen to the shepherd's voice. And the scriptures tells me that anything is good and true and praiseworthy and honorable. Think upon what? These things. And if you keep your standards high, all of a sudden the people that want to bring the mess, they start to back off. And your flow is to live in overflow. God, I'm going to enjoy this life whether or not they want me to or not. They don't want me to enjoy life, so I'm going to enjoy life. It's another hip-hop reference. I will rest. This is the end. I will rest. I will walk. And I will dwell in Him. I will rest. When I will walk in Him. And I will dwell. I will create the environment. I'll make the environment around me match the environment of my Lord. I will rest in the Lord. I will walk in the Lord. And I will dwell in the Lord. You see, if you look at Psalm 23 and if you look throughout the scriptures, the Master's plan is for you to rest in Him. The Master's plan is for you to walk in Him. The Master's plan is for you to dwell in His house. And the forever part can happen now, because I don't know if you realize this is part of forever. Many people have this disconnect, like forever will be when I'm dead. No. Forever is now. Forever is like all time past, all time future. So I can dwell in His presence now. The Master's plan is not as complicated as we make it. It's not about rules and religion. It's not about trying to fix everybody around you. It is about flowing in the overflow and the goodness and the grace of Jesus. And I pray that this week, that's exactly what you determine in your heart to do. I shall not fear. I shall not be afraid. I shall not be worried. I shall not be stressed. I shall not be filled with drama. I shall not be putting my value on other people's words for me. I shall not walk in my own disobedience, but rather in His obedience. I shall not try to make my faith more complicated than it is. I will rest. I will walk. I will dwell in Jesus.